The police report said that a 7-year-old boy in Plain City, Utah, jumped into his parents' car and took off driving down the road early on Sunday morning. Reports started coming in from the community that there was a white Dodge Intrepid driving all kinds of ways, very sporadically down the road, and police finally found the car and went in pursuit of the car in what was called a low-speed chase. Sheriff's Lieutenant Matthew Bell said he felt like what the boy was doing, he couldn't hardly reach the pedals, so he would slide down in the seat and hit the gas, and then he would raise up and see the road and then slide back down and hit the gas. And so the car was kind of going and stopping and going and stopping. He never did pull over. Finally, he made his way back to his driveway, pulled in, jumped out of his car, and ran into the garage. Finally, when he was confronted, the police asked him why he did it. And he said, well, to be honest with you, it's just too hot to go to church today. So he was trying to get out of going to church. That's why he did what he did. You know, a lot of kids don't go to church. Some don't want to go to church, but most kids really love to go to church. I remember when I was little, I loved to go to church. I got to see friends that I hadn't seen all week long because they went to different schools. I got to enjoy friends that were in other grades that I didn't get to see at church. And so I loved to go to church. Now, I wasn't the perfect kid, but I love those old flannel boards. And if you're old enough, you remember what a flannel board is. And if you're not old enough to remember those, then you're smart enough to look it up on your cell phone and see what it was. But I love the teacher telling those stories on the flannel boards. My son MJ had a hard time with church. I preached when I was in Bible college. MJ was 2 years old at a little church of about 25 people, and they didn't have a children's program. And MJ had to sit in church. Actually, his mama wrestled with him through church. And one Sunday, I opened up my sermon, and I opened up with saying, why do we come to church? And MJ jumped up and said, I don't know why. And so it was not a very good day for him after that. Another time, we were visiting a church. A friend of mine was preaching, and I wanted to hear him preach. And so we came to this another small church that didn't have a children's program. When they passed communion, it went by MJ, and MJ jumped up, stood up in the pew, and he said, I want crackers. I want Kool-Aid. And so finally, one of the ladies of the church came and got MJ and took him downstairs and found some cookies and some juice for him. And MJ just, in church, early on, didn't get along. But, you know, usually, if a church has a program for children, then the children love to come to church. And that's what we want to be. We want to have children who love to come to church. I heard about one little boy that he had been in church, and he had memorized the Bible verse. And he said it in front of the whole congregation. John 3:16, this is how he said it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. You think about that. That's what I want too. Because if you have everlasting life, and it's a joy, it will be everlasting life. And that's the kind of church that we want to try to be, a church that has everlasting life. We at CCC, we try to, in our children's department, make it a place that's fun for the kids, but it's also serious because our goal is to introduce them to Jesus and to teach them about Jesus. Now, the little kids, we start early, teaching them the stories of the Bible and introducing them to the characters of the Bible so that they have a good handle on that growing up. And then as they get older, we teach them how to memorize the books of the Bible so they can find Bible verses and how the chapters and the verse numbers work. And then as they get older, we begin to teach them to memorize some Bible verses. And then we teach them what the stories are about, what it means to their lives. And so there's a progression to what we do. But at the same time, we want to make it fun and so that the kids want to come back and be with their friends and make new friends and enjoy coming to church. We're continuing today our series called Engage the Next Generation. And last week we talked about this next generation being a priority for us. In fact, it is one of our values of our church that we will make the next generation a priority. We want to reach these younger kids, these younger generations. Basically, we said the kids and their parents. So anybody under 40, we want to try to reach them and get them into church. And slowly but surely, they're drifting away from church in the culture we live in. So it is a priority for us. You can hear that sermon on our website if you'd like to go and check it out. But today I want to think about a different topic. And the title of the message today is See as Jesus Sees. I want you to start to think about how Jesus sees the next generation. And I raise this question, how did Jesus view the next generation? What do you think Jesus thought about this next generation? Did he look and call them snotty-nosed brats or crumb snatchers or holy terrors or ankle biters or juvenile delinquents or little hellions? What kind of words did Jesus use to describe? Because I've heard all those words used of younger kids in the church. Today's text, we're going to dive in and we're going to see what Jesus thought about the next generation. Turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus was out in the community teaching people. Crowds of people were coming around him, and many of those people had children. And apparently it was a very large crowd. And this is what happened. Mark 10, verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. So, I want you to see what Jesus sees. And here's the first thought. Jesus desires for children to come to him. Isn't it obvious? He gathered those children around him. He wants them to start early coming to him. And today the church is his body. So he wants them coming to the church. And he wants them coming when they're young. He says the kingdom of God belongs to them. In short, he's saying they have a place in God's family. They have a place in God's kingdom. And he wants them coming to this place to find everything out that they can about him. We should also want to do all we can do to ensure that all those snotty-nosed little brats come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And I'll be honest with you, parents, it starts with you. It really does. It starts with you. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 4, it says, "Fathers, bring them up," talking about the kids, "bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." And one day, God's going to hold you fathers accountable for your kids. Did you bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord? Now, you don't have to do it all, but you are responsible for your kids to make sure that they're getting the training. A good church will help. A good church with a good children's and youth program is a good way to help make sure that they're getting brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That takes some of the burden off you fathers. But you want to make sure they're there. It doesn't let you off the hook. You have to reinforce what they learn. You have to live it out yourself. You have to solidify the reading of the Bible and the understanding of of what the Bible is talking about, and you have to pray with your children and live out the principles that are taught there in the book. You know, it's been said, and I believe it's true, with kids, more is caught than taught. You know, they catch on when you do something right. And when you're living a godly life and you're involving yourself with the Lord and they see you praying and they see you reading the Bible, they're going to be more apt to do it too. 10-year-old Stephanie Terry tells about when she was, or Stephanie Terry tells about when she was 10 years old. And she went to this amusement park, and in this amusement park, there was a sky lift, you know, a chair hooked to a cable that took you over the amusement park, and you could look down and see what was going on, and they were there. Her aunt was with her, and there was a little four-year-old little girl there, her daughter, her aunt's daughter, and she was sitting in between, and she was holding on to the rail, and as they went, they got higher and higher on this chairlift, and you could see, Stephanie said, it looked like you could see for miles, but you could see the whole park, and she was a little bit fearful, and all of a sudden, they heard a faint voice, and they heard the words singing the old church song, "Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus." And he couldn't figure out where it was coming from. And then they looked down, and that little four-year-old girl, her knuckles were white holding on to that bar. And she was scared, and she was shaking, and she had a death grip on that thing. But what did she do? She turned to Jesus in that time because she had caught. She knew that Jesus was there for her. And that's what we want to make sure, that kids come to Jesus. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Second thought, our attitudes and actions can get in the way. Read with me verse 13 again. "People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them." You see, our attitudes and actions can get in the way. What were they thinking? Get away from Jesus. Yeah, get them kids out of here. You know, what are they thinking? Jesus is too important. He doesn't have time for these little kids. These little kids are just going to get in the way. They'll be noisy. They'll make a mess. They'll tear stuff up. And the disciples were rebuking the people. That means they were sharp disapproval and criticism. Don't be bringing those kids up in here. You know, I've seen churches that seem like that. No real outreach for kids. It's obvious they don't want them there. The ones they do have, they constantly criticize them. You know, how we treat the kids is important. It's important to Jesus. It's important for them to come to know Jesus, that we're careful about how we treat. You know, things can get misunderstood. There was a mother, her name was Marcy, and Marcy had her little three-year-old son, Ethan. It had been raining all week, and they had been in the house all week, and they needed to get out desperately. Ethan had all this energy built up, and so she decided they were going to go to the mall. And they're in the mall shopping and buying some stuff, and you know, but after a little while, Ethan got kind of antsy, and he got tired of shopping, and so she thought, well, it's lunchtime. We'll go to the food court in the mall. We'll sit down and eat lunch. They went over and got lunch, but after lunch, he got antsy again and fidgety, and so she cleaned off the table, and she looked all the way down the other end of the mall, and she saw a toy store, and she thought, Ethan, we'll go to the toy store. He looked up, and he saw it too, and man, he took off, fast as those three-year-old little legs would take him. And Marcy finished cleaning off the table, and she could see him, and she took off jogging. Of course, people in the mall were looking at her, you know, and she's dodging around people and probably bumped into a few people, but she's chasing her little boy. And right before they get to the toy store, Marcy caught up with the little boy, and she said, "I'll beat you." And the little boy stopped dead in his tracks. And he turned around with these big crocodile tears, and he said, "Mama, don't beat me. Don't beat me." And everybody in the mall started looking. And they were thinking, is this woman going to beat this kid right here? What are we going to do? And then she stopped and she explained, "I didn't mean I was going to hit you. I meant I will get to the toy store before you do. I will beat you in a race." And you know, things can be misunderstood. We need to be careful how we treat people, kids and their parents, when they come to church. Because how we deal with the next generation, well, we don't want to send the wrong message. We want to make sure we got the right message. Janet brought her two little boys to church. And she checked them in at the nursery and left them there. It was a blessing to be away from these two little boys. She's a single mom. She got a break. She got to go to church. And then she's in the line waiting to pick up her kids after the service was over. And one of the ladies that works in the nursery, kind of snooty a little bit, comes up and said, "Janet, I need to talk to you. Your children were a holy terror today. They wanted to fight with other kids. One of your kids broke two of the toys that belonged to the church." Of course, Janet was frustrated and felt terrible about that. And she grabbed her two little boys and she reprimanded them right there. And in the midst of her reprimand, a bad word slipped out that starts with an S. And she gathered up her little kids, embarrassed, and she left the church. And you know what she's thinking in her mind? "I'll never be back here again." One of the other nursery workers was taking care of a kid but saw what was happening. And she called the church on Monday and she got a note, got an address, and she sent Janet a note. Here's what the note said. "I'm so glad you and your boys visited our church. Oh, and about that little exchange when you picked him up for the nursery, let's just say I found it refreshing that you would feel freedom to speak with an honest vocabulary like that in church. I'm really drawn to honesty, and you are clearly an honest person. I hope we can become friends. Love," and she signed her name, which is unnamed here. Well, you know what happened? She connected with that nursery worker, Janet did. And Janet brought her kids back the next week. And she brought her kids back the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and she became part of that church, and her kids became part of that church. And eventually, Janet became the director of the nursery because she came to church, and she grew, and she matured, and her kids got to know Jesus because somebody took the time to be careful about their attitude and their actions toward her. Well, verse 14 says this. When Jesus saw this, what did he see? He saw the disciples rebuking people. He was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Third thought, let's not anger or annoy Jesus. Jesus was indignant, he says. That means that you show anger and annoyance because of what somebody has done. And yes, I know the Bible says that Jesus is love, but Jesus sometimes gets upset with us when we do wrong. He did cleanse the temple because the priests were allowing them to overcharge the people for the animal sacrifices and the money exchanging. You know, James 4:17 says, "If anyone knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them." And if we know the good way that we're supposed to treat people, especially children, and we don't do it, well, we're falling out of goodness with Jesus. And Jesus doesn't like it. And the scripture also tells us in 1 Timothy 4:2, correct, rebuke, and encourage, but with great patience and careful instruction. You know, that's what Jesus does. I can imagine he looked at those disciples as they were rebuking the people for bringing kids to him. And he said, "Wait a minute, guys. Hold on just a minute. Don't let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them." But I can imagine he was looking them in the eyes as he did it. Because Jesus wants the kids coming. Do some of our actions hinder the next generation or their parents? You know, are we annoyed sometimes because of the way people dress when they come to church? Are we annoyed because maybe they like the music loud? Are we annoyed because little kids get rowdy or they talk loud or they scream out or they start crying during the service? You know what, to be honest with you, if you don't have any crying babies in the church, your church is as good as dead. And we want that stuff. Mrs. Chocolate, as she was called, headed up the children's program at her church for 40 years. 40 years. Her name was actually Gwen Williams, but all the kids knew her as Mrs. Chocolate. I don't know why. But one year she was doing the Christmas program, and they had decorated the sanctuary, and they were practicing the kids' part of the program, and they had set up a nativity scene on the side. But Mrs. Chocolate got called to the office. She had a phone call, and so she had to leave the kids, and she said, "Kids, just sit down, be quiet, be good. Don't mess with that nativity set." And she went down to the office, but while she was down there, she heard a boom and then a crash. And then she heard, "Ooh, ah." And she came running down to the sanctuary there to find the baby Jesus laying in the floor in 100 pieces. And little Davy was standing there with his head down and his hands behind his back. And she said, "What happened?" And little Davy looked up and he said, and she was going to nail him, boy. She was going to give him a tongue lashing. And little Davy looked up and he said, "Mrs. Chocolate, the baby Jesus is not in the manger anymore, but he's in my heart." And isn't that what we want? Isn't that the goal? Is to get Jesus in the hearts of these little kids? How could she reprimand him after that? And you know, we do have to keep some discipline in the church, but we got to be careful how we do it. And I'm going to tell you, these kids, they're going to make mistakes. They're going to be loud sometimes. They're going to cry in church. And we invite that. And they will aggravate us sometimes. And they will be hard to deal with. But you know what? So were you. So were you. And Jesus knows all that. But look at what it says. Look at what Jesus did. And he took the children in his arms, and he placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. And here's our connection. Our goal is to engage the children with acceptance and blessing, just like Jesus did. He took them in his arms, he accepted them, and he blessed them. You know the song, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the Lord. You know what can happen when we treat the next generation the way Jesus did? Well, they can be like little Davy, and they can get Jesus in their heart. So let's start seeing the next generation as Jesus sees. Let's pray. God, I thank you today for Jesus and for the way he treated everybody, Lord. He was just special, the way he even brought little kids in. And he cared for them just like he did others. He brought in the sinful people. He treated them the same way. And Father, he wants everybody to come to him. And we got a whole generation out there, Lord, that's slipping out of his hands. And it's our job to try to make sure that they hear the message and that they are drawn to Christ. And so help us to be a church that does that, a church that truly cares about the next generation and seeks to engage them for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray today. Amen.